Welcome to the One Speed MMA Podcast with yours truly, Flying Smitty.
Carson Wood.
Welcome back after a layoff. I was at E3. I almost forgot why it was gone for a little bit and why we missed
it. It's been a long time. We weren't at the E3 the whole time. That was just that 1 week, so we've missed two.
We missed 2 weeks in a row? No, we missed 1 week, and then this would technically be two days into the next week.
That's fair.
Yeah. I remember these things.
Seems like it's been longer.
I see you've grown out your facial hair.
It's got to go today, though.
Why?
You don't want it.
I don't. Can you grow that out like that in 2 weeks? I feel like I haven't seen you in 2 weeks, and it's, there it is.
No, I'd take that. I think this would be about a month.
I'm getting a nice camera, so we might be able to start filming this again. It'll film in 30-minute increments, and then we can cut ourselves off at 30 minutes and then regroup and then go for the next 30 minutes.
And then record and then shave and then start the next one. Yeah.
Let's do it. You just can't shave in my sink, so we have to do it at your house.
No, I'll just shave.
I don't want you to clog it.
I don't flush anything down the drain ever, so I don't think I would anyways.
You don't flush it down the drain?
I don't put anything down the drain that's hairy. That's that's dumb.
Yeah, I guess that makes sense.
You put it in the trash.
Lots to talk about. Speaking of red beards.
Conor
McGregor. Floyd Mayweather.
Got to eat the crow. Been saying, well, I did kind of change my tune when it was looking more and more likely, but I was 100% wrong.
Of course you changed your tune. Who was 100% right, though?
Everybody that you follow online.
Nah, whatever. Whatever. I called 145, 155, Mayweather, retirement.
Well, it's not like you were the first, but I'll give that to you.
I was the first. You heard it here first, folks.
Mm-hmm. But no, I mean, everybody's really upset about it and thinks it's stupid, and it kind of is. But at the end of the day, it's just... I've always said this. The one thing I love about MMA, it's an experiment, unlike any other sport. And, I mean, this isn't technically MMA. It's going back the other way, but it's like taking the experimentation of MMA and then putting it in other combat sports. That's a whole point of mixed martial arts. Can you take an old guy that's past his prime, that's the best at what he did, and go against a guy that's not even in his sport, that's just supremely athletic, talented, fast, and can he compete? The answer's no, but...
I think it all comes down to speed. Has Mayweather lost enough of his... I mean, basically, I let me finish my thought. Has Mayweather lost enough of his speed or the pep in the step in order to get out of the way? And I don't think that he has, seeing that he's still young. And I mean, he hasn't taken a lot of damage as compared in his career.
Well, damage doesn't have... I'm sorry to cut you off.
But I liken it to Anderson Silva, where at some point Anderson Silva just wasn't... He was just not a half a second too slow. And he was starting to get caught in places that he would have never got caught before.
Not the same in my opinion, because Anderson fought. He did things that we've never seen before in the sense that he would fight stupidly. Like he would fight with his hands down. Connor's stupid mural in his gym shows Floyd with his hands down. It's not going to happen. That's not going to happen.
Yeah, Floyd. Yeah, how about that mural, man? It's pretty cool.
Like,
he did it too with Jose Aldo, right? Or no, Nate Diaz.
Did he?
Yeah. He painted it with Nate Diaz as well.
But I mean, like, what's your overall opinion? We haven't really got to talk about this at all. What's your overall opinion of it? We talked a little bit on text, but...
For the spectacle, I love it. Boxing needs something to help it. I mean, the last big thing for boxing that anyone cared about was Pacquiao and Mayweather, and that failed miserably. I mean, other than being the top-selling fight of all time, it failed miserably. Everyone was very mad at it. So I think most MMA fans think that Conor is going to lose. I think most boxing fans think Conor are going to lose. But it's the difference of MMA fans wanting to see how well he could do and boxing fans wanting him to get just thrashed so boxing can be, you know, supreme in, you know, what it is.
The thing is it's so apparent now that this does nothing for boxing, in my opinion.
No, it does nothing for boxing.
Because, I mean, it's Floyd's on his way out. Conor's probably not going to go back over and fight and do any boxing again. So, and the interest, did you watch the whole announcement, everything with the Mayweather Promotions president and then Dana?
So the one where they like live streamed it on Facebook or whatever it was, I watched part of that. When they were talking about it wasn't a UFC thing, it was that promotion. Conor was able to go get his own sponsorships, which are huge.
It's very interesting in that both parties are working together to legitimize Conor, where Mayweather would usually be doing the promotion aspect, talking about how he's going to dominate him. His president's coming out and talking about how impressed they were with his hand speed, which is, it's probably true to a certain extent, but not on a boxing level. It's like, oh no, this guy's got some talent, but they have to, because there's no way they can sell this fight if they're like, oh no, our guy's going to destroy him. Everybody's going to believe him and not buy the fight. So it's funny that they almost have to legitimize Conor. They're almost like, oh, yeah, you know, he we're going to win, but I mean, he poses a threat. No, he doesn't.
No. Well, and the thing is, even in all the videos you watch, and a lot of them are probably really old, he hasn't fixed his stance. He still has a weird, karate, like, move and jab type stance, which doesn't work in regular boxing because the gloves are bigger, you're covering your face, and anytime you move and jab like that, you're just waiting for a counter, and Mayweather is a counter fighter. So, I mean, basically, Conor is going to have to tighten up, and I mean, he can still use a lot of his movement. Boxing does use that, but I mean, he's going to have to protect his face. And you have to protect your face as well in MMA, I understand that, but it's a whole different type of striking. And it reminds me of, who was it, Shane Mosley, who fought the random guy when Chael Sonnen wrestled Michael Bisping, before.
I can't remember. I know it's the promotion you're talking about.
It was like half boxing. There's a wrestling match. There's an MMA.
They did one of everything. It was like Muay Thai, grappling, boxing, and I think they even did pro wrestling, right? Like they literally did multi combat sports and then wrestling.
Exactly.
Pro wrestling.
And I think it was Sugar Shane Mosley fought some random guy, and he ended up having an MMA record. And Chael was saying that Sugar Shane was.
No, it wasn't. I know.
Who was it?
He
was older, but not old enough to not be able to box.
I feel it's like, I'm going to look it up. Keep going.
And so anyway, the whole point was he was talking to Chael Sonnen, and Chael Sonnen's like, this dude's got no chance. You're going to just rock him. And he was like, well, I'm worried about the MMA striking. And Chael Sonnen was like, MMA, what? He's like, yeah, the angles and the way that MMA strikers strike is completely different than boxers. And I've never had to actually fight an MMA boxer, so I'm a little bit worried about that. And Chael Sonnen was like, that's a very odd concept to me. And then he started to think about it, and it's 100% correct. There's a different way. There's MMA striking, just like wrestling and MMA wrestling, right? In collegiate wrestling, you don't have to worry about getting punched in the face, you know, where MMA wrestling you do. So you have to wrestle differently. And so it's the same with, you know, the type of gloves that are going on, the way that the ring and everything is set up. It's a different type of striking that's been taught since, you know, obviously Conor McGregor being in karate and Mayweather being in boxing since he was just a kid. So there's a lot that goes into it. And I think MMA fans are probably more aware of what goes into it than what boxing fans are. I think boxing fans have been the same for a long period of time. And it's just been the same constant progression in boxing. And no one other than Mayweather not taking punches or Mike Tyson just leveling everybody has really changed the landscape of boxing.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas in MMA, you have karate, you have wrestling, you have Muay Thai, you have judo, you know, and you have all of these different things and all of these different disciplines that are mixed together. Whereas boxing is just comes straight through. That's all it is. You know, it's the same kind of nuts and bolts boxing with a little bit of flash and flair as has been around since, you know, its inception, probably in the 1800s. Did you find it?
No, I can't find it, but I know the exact tournament that you're talking about, because it was like an amateur MMA fighter versus an old pro wrestling guy, right?
Yep.
And the MMA fighter kind of got off pretty quick, or pretty early on, a little bit, not like crazy, and then the boxer was like, oh, figured it out, got it.
Yep.
This is what I will say about it. Like, I've kind of gone back and like looked at the little that I know about boxing and everything. YouTube more and more is suggesting like Lomachenko to me and everything, and just watching him, like he's actually pretty impressive. I watched a YouTube video that a fan put together called The Matrix, and Lomachenko like looks exciting. So maybe it works out for him and they do get some fans here and there. I mean, I'm never going to follow it like to the degree that I follow MMA.
Well, I watched a whole documentary on boxing the other day because I got interested in it, and they do talk about how everyone's going pro instead of going to the Olympics, where back in the day, like Muhammad Ali and all of those guys, like Sugar, Shane Mosley, and all of those dudes would go through. It was called Your Fights. Would go through, and the whole pinnacle of everything was to get an Olympic gold, and that was like what you did back in that day. Mm-hmm. And then Muhammad Ali more or less made it where people could make money. Roy Jones Jr.
That, yeah.
Sorry, digressing back. Roy Jones Jr.
I was thinking it was Ray somebody, and then Roy is 100% right. I should have known that, by the way.
Second round TKO. So, yeah. So, anyway, going back to that, it was very interesting to watch this boxing documentary where all these kids are going pro, and then they pad their records to make them undefeated until they actually start fighting big money fights, and then it changes everything. And the weird part is, and one of the things that we talked about with Sean, who's not on here, and he should be, he's getting married this weekend, speaking of which, another digression.
Whoa.
Yeah.
I didn't realize that.
7-7-17. We'll talk about that after. The long story short, they pad their records until they're like 10-11-0, and then they start fighting legitimate boxers. And so it's a very interesting way of doing things, where in MMA, if you come in and you're 10-0, it just means you haven't fought the right person yet. And so it's a very different mentality. And if you're not 10-0 in boxing, then you're a nobody. And so it was an interesting documentary in that form. How the promotions work, where there's one promoter, and I can't remember what his name is, that basically runs all of boxing. He started his own promotion where he brings all the young guys in. And then you've got Golden Boy, and then you've got Money Team or whatever Mayweather's. Wait, no, Golden Boy is Mayweather's, right? I think Golden.
I have no idea.
I think Golden. Yeah, it shows you how little we know. Maybe we should stop talking about actual promotions. But I know Oscar De La Hoya has his own, which Canelo's on, and a lot of the Hispanic boxers are on. And then there's Golden Boy, which is like Mayweather, and other promotions. And they, certain promotions won't sign against other promotions. Certain promotions won't let amateur or newly pro boxers fight in their promotions. And they basically just raise these kids up promotion by promotion until they're like 21-0, and then they fight the promotion against another promotion, and they make millions of dollars.
Speaking of promotions, how is the UFC getting paid in this? That's what I don't understand.
You know, Dana White's worked something.
I know they have. My question is, how though? WME's
worked something out.
But what? And there's something that came out on their sponsorship that they were going to be doing. They set the price at $10 million, which I don't know what that has to do about anything. But if you watch that interview, Dana talks about how great Showtime was for allowing them to do Embedded. Like, they worked really well with us. They let us do Embedded.
What I'm guessing is they were probably paid a contractual fee, or like there's an addendum in Conor McGregor's contract that they had to pay for. In order for him to do this. So, for example, getting into my type of work, say I contract you to do something. I contract you to be on this podcast. And in the first contract, we have a specific set of rules that you're going to come on. You're going to talk about this, this, and this. And you're going to talk about the sponsorship. But after you've signed that contract, we decide that there's something else that we both can mutually benefit in. So in the contract, we forget to write in that we want you to do something on Snapchat, or we want you to show up in an event and sign autographs. So what we would have to do is we'd have to write up an addendum that says, for this contract only, there is this addendum that we will sign worth this much money on top of the original contract. And these are the rules of the addendum. And most likely what happened is there's an addendum in Conor McGregor's contract that says you can do it this one-off boxing match, but in order to do so, the UFC has to make X amount of money to do it. And then they've worked it out between Showtime, between Mayweather's team, and Conor McGregor, so they still make money on the overall boxing match.
Mm-hmm.
Something like that.
Well, I mean, he was saying that he didn't need to do it with the UFC. It would just be easier. So I don't know. It's because it'd be like, say,
he has to do it with the UFC. He's still under contract
for MMA, but it's
the
whole Ali Act. I don't know how that factors in, but he was saying he doesn't have to deal with them because it's a different sport. It's not like, well, does King Cowboy do Kenny Bull Ride? Because he does it all the time.
Boxing or anything that's a direct competition to MMA, I could see them having something in the contract. Apparently, Stephen Thompson has in his contract that he can't get tattoos. So I'm sure that there's little weird things in each person's contract. And maybe when Conor signed on, he made sure that he could go box. I mean, Nate Diaz was supposedly going to go box. And Nick Diaz, apparently, as well, was going to go box while he was retired from MMA.
Well,
so who knows?
My thing is okay, so say that, I don't know, like, it just seems like, even if they were like, well, the addendum, you have to give us 10%, even still, that's only like $10 million for the UFC, which is a lot, but I mean, in the grand scheme of things, it's not that much. There has to be something else.
If they're getting something, it's better than nothing.
Right, but I mean, he why would Conor throw him that bone if there's no addendum and they had to make the addendum?
Because he wants a percentage in the UFC. He wants it to be a part owner, just like Conor, like Conan O'Brien.
They wouldn't sell him that for $10 million.
Not
for worth 4. Whatever billion.
Not they maybe wouldn't. Not $10 million.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
They might have worked out a deal.
I don't know. It's like, I guess, the David Beckham thing where he got a team or something like that. I don't know. I don't see how the UFC is making their money. Again, they were talking about how super excited they were about to get him to be allowed to do embedded. You get paid $3 every, 1,000 views for
something
on YouTube.
Like that, yeah.
And they're going to get 15 million, maybe.
10 cents per video, like, shown.
It's not.
I'm trying to see how. I Google searched it, but I can't seem to find it. About how he can do it.
We're going to talk about this at length over the next 2 months. Mm-hmm. So we'll come back to it. But you were talking about earlier about how in MMA, if you have undefeated records, you're not fighting the right guys, which kind of segues into what we wanted to talk about. We can start from the top with Aaron Pico.
Yeah, man. Freaking Aaron Pico. The hard part is I hope that he's good now, just due to the fact that the hype train is derailed. He didn't come in. Like, he was supposed to beat some can, and then he got choked out, which is kind of what happens with all of these guys. So I'm super happy about that. However, that's got to be detrimental to him. He was undefeated in everything else he'd done. He'd been wrestling since 5. He's been boxing since forever. And then he comes in and Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu beats him, which is exactly like the story of MMA, right?
Striking beat him.
Oh, yeah, uppercut first.
But he also clipped him same time. It just, that whole card was weird. Like, one of those things usually happens in a weekend. Mm. Not all of them.
On one card.
But he's fine, right? Like, that's the beauty about MMA. We're so forgiving of records. It's not like boxing. My favorite thing that I ever saw of, like, an interview piece that they did, they got 4 previous champions together. I've talked about this before, and it was like Mir, Liddell. I can't remember who else it was.
Griffin.
I don't think Griffin was on there, but there was 4 of them, and they said, what makes a good UFC champ or MMA champion? And they said, lose and come back from adversity and win. And you don't even have to necessarily lose your belt. Like, you can, like, everybody loses.
You can lose anytime, yeah.
The only, like, weirdly, John Jones, he got his one loss out of the way that was a really bizarre loss.
The DQ?
So he got lucky, but, I mean, he's technically, like, undefeated, if we're being honest. But Aaron Pico is going to come back.
Well, they pointed out, like, Anderson Silva lost his either second or third fight. Jose Aldo lost his second or third fight pro when they were still in, like, weird jungle fights or whatever it was.
And well, Anderson
all,
was,
came
in,
back.
Was in Japan, right?
He might have had that flying at that time.
He had the flying heel hook.
Is that how he lost? Was a flying heel?
I'm pretty sure. I'm going to double check.
Because I know that. He got DQ'd against, what's his face, for the down kicks against Okami. And they considered it a loss because Okami didn't beat him.
Right.
But yeah, so I mean, there's a lot of people that have lost at the beginning of their careers and then come back. It's much better than being the opposite. Like,
it's just sucky for him that it's such, with such a, oh, no, it was a flying scissor heel hook from Rio Chonin, and that was actually his second loss. He lost by submission triangle choke to Daiju Takasi in Pride 26, and then he lost in Pride Shockwave 2004, and then Yushin Okami in Rumble on the Rock 8 in 2006.
Yeah, and so, then didn't lose again for, like, almost a decade, right?
Yeah, and then he lost, no contest, loss, win against Brunson. The only unfortunate thing with Aaron Pico is all eyes on him.
Yep.
But he'll come back. And Scott Freeman needs to calm down. He needs to calm down.
No, man, he's only got this. He's got to push as much as he can right now. He's got to ride this wave.
No, I'm not saying, like, I'm like, get in the media and everything and do your thing, but, like, sympathy card, like, I'm going to talk to certain of you two I mean, you got to give everybody, like, you took this fight knowing what you were getting into. Yeah. Don't complain at the media for being into the hype train. Like, you got out of this fight exactly what you were supposed to. Mm. And, like, yeah, play it up because you got to get paid next fight. Like, you got to get another opponent. I'm going to watch your next fight.
Yep.
But, like,
well, he's going to be on the undercard of some random Bellator.
I don't think so. No, I don't think so. I think he did it on the big stage. I think that he might go back to the undercard after that. Give but the next Brian one, Couture. Who do they have that they're gonna put on the under or over like the actual card over him?
Ryan Couture was on the undercard. He's like the first fight.
He's getting ready
in.
To like retire.
Ryan Couture's won his last three fights. I mean, in Bellator, so it doesn't really matter. But speaking of, there's a lot to talk about, man. Lorenz Larkin going in and getting beat by Diego Lima.
I don't know. That was a weird one.
It felt like Lorenzo didn't want to fight.
That felt like the Jose Aldo Frankie Edgar fight.
I can agree with that. Like one Lima, person was more active, one person was more precise.
Yeah, like Lima was standing flat footed and just bending past the punches and just kind of hit landing stiff shots here and there.
But Larkin went balls to the that was Brunson. Never mind. Brunson had gone balls to the wall. Sorry. I just got mixed up between Lorenz Larkin and Brunson. Derek Brunson went balls to the wall against Whitaker and got knocked out. Lorenz Larkin lost to Anderson Silva last, right? And then he left the UFC.
No. Derek Brunson.
Derek Brunson. Man, lost. I don't know why I keep getting those.
Because I mixed you up with the Anderson when I talked about how he beat Derek Brunson. And I don't know where we got maybe sidetracked on that. But
that might be it.
Lorenz Larkin, he was on a win streak. And then he went there and he lost to Douglas Lima. Did you watch the post fight on for this whole card too?
For Bellator?
Yeah.
No, I didn't watch any of them.
The post fight was actually super interesting. It was terrible. And then Chael walked in. And I was telling everybody about this, and I got my friend Mike over to watch the fights, and I was telling some other people about it, just how much of a genius he is in marketing. And I still think he's a better trash talker.
Chael or Lima?
Chael.
I didn't think you were talking about Lima, but I had to clarify.
Chael
walked in.
I think he has a better promotional mind than McGregor in the sense what McGregor's better at is not only is he good at marketing, he also is more athletic and Mystic Mac. Like the Mystic Mac is what puts him in another level. It's a Babe Ruth. Yep. Call your shots and you take it is amazing.
Yep.
So Chael walks in and he starts promoting his next fight and he's like, well, let's be clear. I respect Fedor. But our paths are going to cross. And then he went down the whole dais and was starting promoting everybody else's next fight. He's like, I don't look up to a lot of 20-year-olds, but I look up to Aaron Pico. I don't know if you guys saw Douglas Lima. That was ridiculous. Their only fight we can make next is Rory McDonald. Matt Mitrione is amazing. And like he just went through all the way to Scott Freeman, and he built up everybody from there. And that's what Bellator hired him for.
Yep, he's a hype man, and he's one of the best hype men that there are.
What
did you think about? I did hear his post fight, which when he said, "Thanks for nothing, New York," or whatever he said.
Well, I thought they were saying "F you" to him, and they were saying "You Tito."
Oh, is that what it was?
Yeah, and they asked him about
it. That was it. Yeah.
And they asked him, they're like, well, why did you say that? And he's like, it's a garbage city. And they're like, well, they were saying F you, Tito. And he's like, were they? I might have to rethink my position on New York.
That's pretty funny. No, yeah. It's funny that everyone still hates Tito, even though Tito wasn't really the bad guy in that, and he won that fight. Yet he's still the bad guy somehow. I mean, he seems like a... Tito has done nothing over the last 5 years but try and make himself out as a good guy. And he just can't do it. Like, I like Tito now. So it's weird to me that, like, average MMA fans still hate him.
I don't care about Tito. Like,
I can agree with that.
If he fights again, if he doesn't fight again. Mm.
But, I mean, he bet, like, $500,000 on a parlay between Nick Diaz and Misha Tate. Won a whole bunch of money. He said that he would help pay for, who was it? Who won the Ultimate Fighter? Marcos, she just went, Esparza.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, oh, yeah, no, you don't have to sell your bike. You know, I can loan you the money until your next fight or whatever. Like, he seems like he's a decent human being. Like, when he was on Chael's show and he talked about, like, he just goes to his wrestling camps with his kids on the weekend. Like, it's one of those things, like, he just seems like a genuinely, like, good dude. Where he used to be the bad guy before. Digressing from that real quick. Do you think he ever fights Liddell? You think Bellator makes it happen?
No.
You think... They would do it.
No, they would. No, they've probably contacted him. I think Liddell's passed it.
I hope.
Tito's, I don't think is, but I think Liddell is.
I don't know if Liddell is still.
I mean, he's got a job with the UFC already, right? Like, he's still with them.
No, I don't think so. I think that was that part of the He was making like $1 million a year just to do PR. So I think that they cut him. And so now that's why they even have a picture of him and Tito together. I think all of those guys that get cut by the UFC are moving into Bellator, which is weird to me because, I mean, where are their loyalties? The loyalties must be where their money is.
Well, if UFC's firing me, my loyalty's not with them.
I know, but I mean, and I guess it was with the Fertittas, and the Fertittas are no longer there, so who cares? I mean, I guess I understand. Speaking of old UFC people, Tim Hague.
That was rough.
This story? So he...
Well, I saw Matt Mitrione. Well, yes, yeah, I did. But
so Matt Mitrione, we can get into that. So apparently what happened is he was in a boxing match. He was knocked out, got up, was moving around. The guy that beat him said he looked really, really bad and he was worried about him. And then when he left, he ended up, I don't know if he collapsed or went to the hospital to get checked, but he died later that night of head trauma. And this goes back into the conversation that you and I always have. Like, what's the best for people? To stay in the sport until something like that happens, or to be forced retired like the UFC did with, you know, Matt Hughes and Chuck Liddell and those type of guys? And I'm a much bigger fan of the forced retirement than I am of potentially having guys get so much brain injury that they could potentially die in the ring. It's rough.
There's a lot of care that needs to be taken with it. Bellator is, again, the biggest. I don't understand why, after the Dada Kimbo Slice fiasco, how they're putting above 40-year-old guys in there.
But this wasn't Bellator. This was a random boxing
match. I know. I'm saying, but the question started with us talking about
old people fighting
Tito Ortiz and Chuck Liddell, right?
Vitor Belfort.
We got at some point that we do have to let them just like hang it up.
Fedor.
Yeah, the Fedor thing was bad. That didn't look, him hitting his head off the back of the canvas. I hate that.
And he wants a rematch.
I don't know, man. I figure I don't think you can keep him down. Whether it's risen or not, it's going somewhere. But I Bellator should probably stay.
He owns his own promotion in Russia.
Yeah.
He can bring people to fight him if he wanted.
Yeah, I don't know. You have to take it on a case by case basis. I don't know, but the Tim Hague thing is unfortunate to say the very least.
Matt Mitrione gave him a shout out afterwards. Matt Mitrione talking about the crazy fight that both of them, there was a double knockdown and then Mitrione just happened to get up faster. If you haven't seen this, for all of those that haven't watched Bellator and haven't spent time on Twitter, I know there's several people out here that listen to us that are casual MMA fans. You need to go find this video of the double knockdown. It was one of the most interesting things I've seen. Matt Mitrione mentioned that he had basically been flashed KO'd, got knocked on his butt, and then realized that Fedor was still there, and he realized that he had to get up and go finish it off, or Fedor was going to finish him off. Mm-hmm. And so I actually bet on Matt Mitrione about 2 minutes before the fight started.
Mm-hmm.
And was really happy about it. I also bet on Diego Lima over Lorenz Larkin.
Mm-hmm.
And then I also took someone earlier, and I can't even remember who it was, but it was basically a straight bet, and I ended up winning on that one as well. So I was pretty happy about it.
Where'd you end up at for the weekend?
For the weekend, the next card, I didn't do so well with the UFC. I bet on BJ Penn and lost. And then I bet on Chiesa, $10 on Chiesa. So I went even. I won $15 more or less on the Bellator fight, and then lost that $15 on the UFC fight.
So just sticking with Bellator, then we'll go to the UFC real quick. But one, girl shit in their pants.
Oh, yeah, man.
What the hell? but the... Did you watch the Michael Chandler fight? Did you watch that whole thing?
I only saw the very end where he messed up his foot.
Do you know what it was?
Was it the thigh kick?
No, well... I don't think so.
Nerve damage, right?
Yeah, well, it's drop foot. Have you ever had it?
Uh-uh.
So I get it from soccer when I haven't played in a while. So mine's not as bad as his, obviously. But, like, your foot, like, you can't lift it. And it just kind of, like, it just doesn't matter for me because...
Like it's asleep?
Kind of, except, for, I mean, you feel everything and it's not tingly. But at least for me, it's not. It's almost like shin splints to the max.
Yeah.
Where, but, like, your foot just like drops. And so his is to the point of nerve damage. So I think when he kicked him on the low kicks, it made it happen. But I mean, he almost knocked him out, man. Like, yeah.
Even after his leg was messed up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Honestly, I think the adrenaline rush, he probably would have been fine.
Dude, I forgot about how crazy that was. So Aaron Pico lost, and then two belt holders lost, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because there was the Primus kid that won.
Aaron Pico, yeah, and then Douglas Lima,
he won.
He won. And did he have the belt?
Yeah.
So he didn't lose his belt.
And then Primus won.
And that was the only
and
belt.
And that was a fluke.
And so Phil Davis was the one that lost his belt.
Oh, yeah. He lost to Ryan Bader. And that was a controversial split decision. I didn't watch it. I watched the first round and then went to the store.
The reffing was terrible. Maybe, what was the one that I was watching? Oh, the Clay Guida fight. I texted you about that. There was, two 10-8 rounds in there. And one of them did 29-28. Yeah. He didn't win a single round. Like, anyways, we'll get into that later. The last thing I was going to say is I'm really, really excited for Michael Chandler moving forward. I've heard about him. I think who should be the face of that promotion is Michael Chandler.
Oh, he already is.
I know. And Rory McDonald. That's who they have to build their brand around moving forward as far as legitimizing their fighters. That's who it's got
to
be.
Well, Michael Chandler went back to wars with Eddie Alvarez. Michael Chandler is a stud, and he's one of those guys that re-signed with Bellator when he could have easily gone over to the UFC, but he was like, I've got a good thing going. And then you've got like KJ Nunes, who even was like, you know what? As much as I love Bellator and as much as I feel like I'm the face of Bellator, not Josh Thompson, KJ Nunes, sorry. It was like, Michael Chandler is the face of Bellator, and he will be back, and you know, that's my division, and he will be back stronger, and I can't wait to fight him. And it's just interesting within Bellator how much respect Michael Chandler has.
He could have no legs and he'd terrify me.
He beat Ben Henderson. You know, he's one of the best fighters outside of the UFC by far.
Even in the stacked 155 division, I think he makes a even without
top
like
five.
Say that he's like he doesn't have his name behind him yet, and he just goes in and he has to fight through him. I think he does it.
But and Alvarez had wars, and Alvarez came in and won the belt over RDA. Mm-hmm. So,
and then that leads into the last one, which is hilarious because now Vanderlei saying his next fight he wants to fight a non-wrestler.
Of course he does.
Yeah.
I actually made a mistake. This is where my losing started. I bet like $4 on Vanderlei because I didn't have even money in my account, so I bet like $4 and like 65 cents on Vanderlei, and it was a terrible choice because he just got crushed. Out wrestled the entire time. It's interesting to see the difference between Tito and Chell though, because Tito ended up technically out wrestling Chell, and mm-hmm. that's how he ended up tapping him. And then you just saw how dominant Chell is. So that puts Tito Ortiz wrestling at a very, very high level, which is crazy to me.
Except for an actual wrestling, who won?
Oh, Chell did technically, right? In like collegiate wrestling,
yeah. It's pretty funny. Like, you can see their size difference, too, in that match. It was crazy.
Yeah, Tito's huge.
Yeah. And that kind of wraps it up for Bellator. It was a nutty card. It was the best thing that they've probably done, though.
Oh, by far. They said they did 900,000 views on Spike. I don't know if they released the pay-per-view numbers. But at least Spike, they did just under 1 million. Which is, I believe, pretty good on Spike. I didn't see whether people were saying it was a positive or a negative. It seemed like it was an overall positive.
I just put in pay-per-per-views.
Pay-per-per-views.
Like paper.
How many people have seen paper this week?
Let's see if they say here. No, it's not saying anything.
They might not know yet.
So a couple things. This card was good and bad.
UFC or Bellator?
UFC.
I didn't watch it. I was out in the middle of the woods. I was following on Twitter. So all of those people that live tweet these type of things, I really appreciate it. Bloody Elbow, who I don't usually follow that too much other than just the headlines of whatever their articles are. I was glad that they were live tweeting. Our boys at Combat Docket as well were live tweeting.
So we got a... I don't really care about the Penn fight. I mean, he looked better, though, to be 100% honest. But
better against Seaver.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, not great on that one. That was... That was not good. Reyes, the guy that turned around and did a super quick fight after his LFA fight with the highlight kick knockout and came in and got another quick win too against.
I didn't see that one.
He looks good. Like, he looks like he has crisp striking. I think he's probably, he's shooting above what his actual talent level is right now, but that division needs new people for sure. Mm-hmm. And wait, wasn't it,
I'm pulling up the card right now.
Wasn't it in the UFC? Did I say that it was Bellator that the girl done messed to pants?
No, yeah, that was Kish. That was in the UFC.
Yeah, that was in the UFC. That was, I was 100% wrong on that. That was
Justine Kish. She was getting rear naked choked and ended up pooping herself.
Yeah, I don't know why I was saying the Bellator on that, but I kind of missed that fight because I left to go to the gas station and then came back and was like, what the hell happened? And then the other big story, apart from the main fight, was the Bosch versus Hendricks, and we got...
I bet on Bosch.
Yeah, I mean, if I knew that he missed weight, I would have done that too, but we got a new Rumble.
Yeah.
Freaking Johnny Rumble Hendricks.
Yeah, but Rumble wasn't getting knocked out. You know what I mean?
He still lost, though. Lost against Josh Koscheck.
Anthony Johnson did?
Yeah.
I don't remember that.
Yeah.
I'll take your word for it.
Yeah,
so I think lost.
Every time he missed weight, he lost.
I lost on Penn, I won on Bosch, and I lost on Chiesa. Dude, but I liked him, Bosch. I put on Bosch before I knew Hendricks was going to miss weight because Hendricks has been knocked out the last couple fights he's been in. So I was like, dude, Bosch has got freaking tough. Bosch has got a tough chin and great hands. And so I was like, I'm taking Bosch on this. Roshan Bosch for it.
Well, okay, hold on real quick. So he didn't miss weight against Koscheck, but he did lose. But when he went against Vitor, they did a catch weight at 197.
Yeah.
When he went to, that was his first fight at middleweight. And he got submitted rear naked. Anyways, I don't know what's next for Hendricks.
He beat Hector Lombard. Yeah, you know me. I like when people retire.
I think this is a more promotion change kind of thing too.
A lot of people said for him to go to Bellator, that was another big thing.
Except for he just missed Oklahoma.
OKC.
No, that was UFC. I'm all over the place.
You are all over the place.
They're going to Oklahoma next.
Oh, are they? I didn't know.
No,
that.
I don't know. I have no idea. I don't follow Bellator.
Clay Guida looking good in his wrestling.
Clay Guida looked really good.
And I figured, and I actually tweeted, if this kid's wrestling takedown defense isn't good, Guida's going to own him. And everyone was like, Guida's old. And then Guida owned him. Absolutely owned him. This fight, I didn't really watch this fight. So, man, you're going to have to talk about it more than I can.
There were twice where Clay Guida had full mount for a large portion.
Eesh.
That's where I get the eight. I mean, because how do you score 8-10s, you personally? I know that there's rules and stuff. They were using the old rules.
I mean, if you're working, if you have top mount and you're working, then you definitely have to get it there 1 second. So that's what I consider a 10-8. If you are in full mount the entire time, or if you have 2-1 significant strikes or 3-1 significant strikes, that's definitely I would consider a 10-8 round as well.
And I think it was not even close to that. I wonder if it has the statistics on I don't think it does, but like, oh, it does actually have live stats here. 133 total strikes to 17.
Oh goodness.
He had control for 9 minutes, 42 seconds. And, it says 27 seconds for Eric, but it's 28, obviously.
No, there was 1 second that it was just a stalemate. Just that one split second.
So yeah, we're talking like crazy numbers. How do you not get a 10-8 round out of that? And they did one of them 29-28. One of the judges said 29-28.
One of the very first fights on the card too was like super off, wasn't it?
Yeah. There was a couple. I can't remember what they all were because I watched so much fighting this weekend. But
yeah, there was one of the very first ones where everyone was like, how in the world? No, it was Guida. And then it was Penn and Seaver. Someone gave Penn way more credit than I think he should have.
That was one of them too. But if I remember right, I was kind of confused on a Bellator one too. But I can't remember. But yeah, the Penn Seaver one was weird.
And Bosch, man. I like Tim Bosch. Whether or not he's ever going to be a champion, he's one of my favorite fighters.
I don't think he's going to be a champion, but he's very good.
I said whether or not. And then Chiesa, man, I'm really sad about that. No matter what I think he would have tapped, I'm really irritated with Yamasaki for not allowing it to go a little bit longer. But it sounds like he got pretty much owned by Kevin Lee. And it's weird to me because Kevin Lee has been on and off, and it looks like he might have just finally hit his – I don't like him. I like to see him lose, but it sounds like he's finally hitting his pace. He's won, I think, 3 in a row.
Yep.
No, not even that. 5 in a row.
So interestingly enough, and I mean, one of them was Tony Ferguson, and we'll talk about that whole interview too, but
yeah,
a lot of people were talking about the problem that he was having. Like, it was impressive that he got his back and everything, but they were saying it's not incredibly impressive how he was locking it in. Like how he was transitioning to the grips and everything. And so they were like, no, yeah, like he very easily might not have submitted him because he just kind of like what he was saying, he was doing this just to kind of make as much space as possible, just flexing his neck. I think the fight was over. I think he probably would have went out, but you got to wait for him to go limp in that case.
I don't like Kevin Lee and I like Michael Chiesa. So I'm always going to side with Chiesa.
I like them both. Okay.
Kevin Lee's a douchebag.
He's okay. What don't you like about him?
All of his post-fight press conferences have been ridiculous. He's, I don't know, man. He just is super outspoken, but he wasn't backing it up at the time. I mean, he lost to Leonard Santos, and he lost to Al Iaquinta. I mean, he's won 5 in a row, and I didn't even know he'd won 5 in a row. They're not the best fighters, but, I mean, he'd won 5 in a row. So, I mean, good for him. And so... he said something. It is what it is. He has a very unlikable personality to me. Whereas like Derek Lewis has a very likable personality, but I don't like the things that he says, and a lot of other people do. Most people in the MMA community do not like Kevin Lee.
He's kind of one of the fighters that you need to have to not like.
Yeah. I can agree with that.
While Connor's gone in that division to root against somebody or root for somebody, he's going to be one that's going to be divisive. Like, he's going to probably lose again, and he'll go on another run because he is talented enough. I agree with Tony Ferguson. I don't necessarily agree how he handled it when they got into their whole scuffle when he started calling him a jerk. That was like what was silly is when
I missed all of that, so you're going to have to explain all of the post-fight and all of that.
So they bring him on. It's Kenny, Tyron Woodley, what's her face? I can't.
Karen Bryant.
No. Is that her name?
Karen Bryant.
Oh, yeah. No, Karen Bryant. Yes. Yeah.
I think it's right. Kieran.
No, you're right. Karen, yeah. And then Tony Ferguson. And they were all having good questions. They kind of let him know, like, hey, this is what we think. And then it got to Tony, and Tony said the same thing. It was completely full of praise. And he just started mouthing at him, like, oh, I don't even care what you say. You're just playing journalist. And he's like, oh, I don't even know if you're a real journalist. Let me talk to a real journalist. Like, come on, man. You're talking to a real fighter who knows and can actually ask you legitimate questions. I understand that you're trying to hype the fight. But, I mean, we could actually get down to some really interesting conversations. Mm-hmm. And he can let you know, hey, if you would have shut up, you almost probably could have learned from Tony mm-hmm. to a certain extent. Because Tony was like, your grip's wrong. Michael's head was on the right side. You didn't put it on his body was. You had the triangle on the wrong side. He's like, it's very possible they wouldn't have finished him. Like, it wasn't super technical.
Yeah, but could you imagine having just won a fight and having someone tell you that?
But it's not what he said. Like, I mean, if he would have just listened, I'm saying. Yeah. Like, he could have asked some questions, and he could have still even almost responded to it, but he just started calling him a journalist. And obviously, like, they want him because he's super intelligent
yep.
in fighting. It's like having Dominic Cruz on. Yep. But I would love to see that fight, but I don't think we're going to see it for a while.
No.
Khabib is who he's calling out right now. Mm-hmm. I would love to see him versus Edson Barboza.
Yeah, that's an exciting fight. I agree with that 100%. We also have a card coming up this weekend.
Yes.
Friday night card, which is weird. It goes from Sunday to Friday. They're messing up all of our dates here, especially because I got a wedding on the 7th. So, fight coming up this weekend, Johnson versus Gaethje. Gaethje coming over from WSOF, right? Not Bellator. Everyone's giving him he's a heavy favorite, and so a lot of people in the MMA community are going back to Johnson and putting money down on him. Gaethje is a monster. He's a big wrestler. So it was Michael Johnson. So I'd expect them to have to strike, and it's going to be an exciting card. And of course, we have the winners of the Ultimate Fighter 25 or whatever we're on, which are yet to be determined. I'm sure that'll be announced soon. I stopped watching Tough 25. Are you still following it at all?
No, much more important fights going on. It's Cody Garbrandt versus Matthew Cater Klein.
Let's get there.
My favorite fight
so
of the weekend.
So you have to break down when he actually showed up, because I knew he was going to show up. We explained it in the other one, in the gossip episode, actually, where the guy was going to show up to fight Cody Garbrandt.
Yep.
So he actually did show up. He took a picture of himself in the airport.
Yep.
People were saying, that's not the Sacramento airport, that's the Las Vegas airport or something like that. People were giving him crap. He did go to the gym, but he waited till Cody was gone. Take it away from
me. So allegedly, like, he showed up early in the morning, and there was an understanding that he was going to be at the gym at 10, which he says was not the understanding, but he has since deleted tweets, so who knows?
The internet will keep those.
And then he was saying he was having problems with his production crew. And then
himself and his camera?
No, the crew. There was a legitimate, like, he apparently legitimately got a crew, and it fell through, so he got a guy with a camera. And they both just walked around filming everything. And apparently he had 2.5 million pay-per-view buys. Yep. That's what he claimed. And
did someone actually order this on pay-per-view? Did it actually get to pay-per-view?
I'm almost positive somebody did.
No, but I mean, he actually got it worked out with pay-per-view that people could buy it and tune in.
I don't know about that. I didn't look into it because I don't care that much about it, because it was all you defeat the whole purpose of the pay-per-view. One, if you don't have good production, which you had some guy with a camera that you just picked up off the street. And two, you're live streaming everything. And obviously, Cody and his gym are going to live stream it too, even if it gets to the actual fight.
I'm surprised he didn't get swatted. Most people that live stream now get swatted. Anyway, sorry.
It'd be hard to pin down, though, because nobody knew where he was.
Yeah, that's a solid point.
Because the whole thing with swatting is you have to find out where they're at.
And will be for the next little bit.
Yeah. And so... which is illegal, and I can't say you should do it.
No.
That'd be pretty funny.
Only that guy.
But then, so he gets there sometime, and it was understanding that he's going to be there at 10. He says it wasn't an understanding of that later, but Cody waited from 10 until 2. He left his phone number with the front desk and said, call me when he gets here, and I'll come back into a birthday party. And so he's leaving, and I think the guy came in like 15 minutes later. And they're completely amicable to him. The guy at the front desk is like, you want a water or a towel? He's like, water would be great. And he's got these, did you watch any of the videos? He's got these big rhinestone snooky glasses that have like King taken out across the lenses.
Oh,
so
goodness.
It says King. And it was the best. It was the best in the world. I wished it would have happened. But so, and he sits down, and some like little Asian guy that probably weighs $1.55, probably the same weight as
Cody. Is it the striking coach?
I don't think so.
Because they've got a famous Asian striking
coach. Not that guy. No, this guy was almost like Polynesian, actually, but you couldn't really see him in the stream too well. But he just starts yelling, look who's here! You're not going to believe who's here, y'all! And he just started like just clowning him, touching his glasses. Like, don't touch my glasses. Don't touch them. And he's like, what the f*** are you going to do about it? Like right there. And he's the only one. It's not like he couldn't have fought that guy too. And he just left. And then, so he kind of stuck around, and then Danny Castillo showed up beforehand, and he thought that was Cody Garbrandt's dad. So, and he got in his car, and he drove down a one-way street almost killing people.
Did he actually almost hit somebody?
That's what they were saying.
Oh.
If we're believing Cody.
I don't believe that. He probably didn't know it was a one-way road, and I highly doubt that he almost hit anybody.
If it's a one-way road, he probably almost did. If there's cars going the other way. Not
that,
like
that
people,
yeah,
but like cars.
Okay, that I understand.
I mean, people are in the cars.
I was thinking people on the road.
We haven't had drone cars yet, but we're on our way. But no, like, and the thing, like, this is my whole thing. I get it. Like, yeah, well, I didn't want to get jumped around. I'm not going to fight all of you. That's the whole point. That was what you sold it on, is how badass you were, because you were going to go to his gym and fight him.
Well, no MMA fighter is going to allow someone else to jump in. I mean,
no.
You're either going to win
no.
or lose.
Yeah. Yep. You won't let him get like just sit there and beat your dead corpse, obviously.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
They're going to jump in on that. They're not going to beat him up, but they'll pull him off. But that's what you signed up for. Other than that, then like you have a neutral ground that just you two go to, but that's not
flagpole after school.
We have a new Charlie Zelenoff. That's all I'm saying. Mm-hmm. That was the big name going around, which I love.
The guy that would just show up at gyms and start fighting people?
Yes.
That guy?
The only difference is Charlie would actually... like. So
Charlie would actually fight and lose.
No. He never really lost because they were sparring, and then he just started throwing haymakers.
That's what it was.
And then he actually went against an...
Didn't he go against Mayweather's dad?
Yeah. Yeah, he did. And he punched him, like, he ran back in the ring and punched him when he wasn't turned around. And then he got jumped.
Yeah.
And then he went outside the ring and just started jumping around like he won it. And, yeah.
Goodness gracious.
Mayweather's dad owned him. But he at least fights people, even though he doesn't let them know that it's on the pretense of fighting. He just, hey, man, I'm starting a fight. You want to just help me spar a little bit? And just then bombs.
Goodness gracious.
I love experiments in MMA. I know everybody says that Cody would have destroyed him. Very possible, but he's a big guy.
He would have taken him down and choked him out. I just think about Court McGee in high school where it was like, cool, it's going to be a street fight. The MMA fighter takes him down and chokes him out.
But Court's big too. Like Cody's what, 155, 160?
I bet you walks around at 175.
He cuts 40 pounds?
Yeah, no. Okay, wait, he's fighting at
135.
135. He walks around
at 160.
Yeah, probably.
And this guy's over 200. I want to see where the depreciation of, or where size depreciation happens.
His wrestling, man, as soon as he gets a freaking double leg, that guy goes down and he takes his back.
Mm-hmm. If he gets to his back, then it's all gravy. But yeah. I just wonder where strength takes over technique.
I remember Tyson Petrov, who used to wrestle at 110 pounds in high school, and I was pushing at least 175. So big discrepancy. He would own me anytime that we would even mess around and we would wrestle. Mm-hmm. He would absolutely own me.
I want to see it. I wanted to see it. I'm so pissed that we got robbed. That was the fight of the weekend.
Oh,
and this is probably more than I wanted to get into, but I've thought about this a lot this weekend.
Yeah, that's exactly what we want.
This guy, he's calling himself the world champ now. Yes. So let's be clear. You got on social media on a beef between two other men. You called one out. He's the 135 champion, and you're calling him out. You guys didn't fight, and you're not fighting at his weight class even, and you're declaring yourself as the champion. And then on top of that, he declared he was going to shoot them all.
I forgot about that part.
This guy's unhinged. Honestly, it probably should not have happened. Nobody knows what the hell he was doing. There is one apologist also on Twitter going around being like, at least he showed up. And it's like, he didn't do anything, though.
At least he showed up. I that was me. I'm not one Twitter. The thing is those guys all hunt. Mendez is a famous hunter. The last thing you want to do is threaten hunters who probably carry guns with them everywhere they go that you're going to shoot them. That's more or less how you get yourself shot. So, I mean,
I think that's more how you get a warrant for your apartment. And if you have any illegal firearms, you get a 5 to 25. If we had Sean here, he could correct what the sentencing would be on that. In the Nevada state.
It depends on if he's got a license to carry or not.
That's what I'm saying. Illegal firearms. I don't know. I love, this whole thing was just amazing. He actually went out there and waited for him to leave and then went in.
Here's the deal, right? No matter what, let's say you're that crazy. You go in and you actually fight Cody Garbrandt, and even if you lose and you lose bad, you showed up and you fought him.
Mm-hmm.
You have all eyes on you. You're going to end up being Twitter famous or whatever for mm-hmm. 15 minutes. Why not? Why show up, call yourself the world champ and not fight? If you really could, if I could get notoriety for the next 2 years to get knocked out by Cody Garbrandt, I would probably do it.
Sure.
I would build a YouTube channel. I would build a social following and I would go with it.
You go around to gyms and fight people and put it on that page.
Just one. I don't want to get knocked out every weekend. Just once.
As long as
I didn't die.
The other thing I forgot to mention, not only are you picking a fight with a guy that's way smaller than you, you're also picking up a fight with a guy that's injured. That was what started this whole thing off is because he had to pull out of the fight and he called him a bitch. And Cody is afraid of no man. I believe he's a little unhinged himself, but I believe when he says he would have fought him and he would have, I think he's just one of those guys that will go 0 to 60. Mm-hmm. And he would fight anybody. He would rather die than...
We talked about this. He's that guy that when a scuffle starts and one guy's running his mouth, the other guy gets bored and he's like, are we going to fight or what? And just starts fighting. And then the guy that was running his mouth is like, oh man, I just got myself into a bad situation.
Mm-hmm. And he's completely unassuming apart from, except for the tats.
Yeah.
Like you would just think this guy is not a fighter. And then all of a sudden you'd get cracked with a shot right on your jaw and you'd be lying out. Like,
head kick to a 6 foot person.
Yeah.
Let's run through this next week's card real quick. We got 5 minutes. I'm actually going to give you my picks because I have a – well, no, I think you know these guys. Johnson versus Fortuna, you don't. Herman versus Dolloway. Ed Herman versus CB Dolloway. The tough two guys fighting each other way after – look how – do you have the UFC.com?
Not pulled up.
Oh, man. Will you please go to UFC.com and go to this fight that's coming up and go look at Ed Herman and CB Dolloway? It looks like two guys that have just not slept in years – and have just spent all of their time getting just hammered and lifting weights about to fight each other.
Oh, this card's terrible.
It's actually, I thought so too until I actually started to look at it. Other than CB Dolloway and Ed Herman, who look like they're just like way past their prime, and just, oh my goodness.
Your girl's anyway, on this card.
Ashley Yoder and Angela Hill. I'm actually kind of excited for this, for that. I like Angela Hill. Which is interesting because she's super
outspoken. Oh, Maynard versus Ishihara. I actually like that fight.
Exactly, man.
That's the only one, though.
Dude, the more you look at this card...
This is, like, low-key good card. Like, yes. This is one of the fight night, like, low-key, like, could be amazing.
This is a great card. Jordan Johnson is undefeated. Marcel Fortuna, I believe, lost his last fight or his first fight in the UFC. I'm going to look this up right here so I don't just talk out my ass, which is what I usually do. So he won his first fight against Anthony Hamilton. So these guys are both technically undefeated in the UFC. Anyway, so these are both strikers, or both sub guys, but they're also big, right? 57 or 56% subs. Tavares versus Theodoro, this is probably going to be the most boring, but it's going to be a technical fight. It is going to be fun to watch if you want to watch a technical fight. Cannonier versus Bose, this is the dude that him and the dude from here...
Yeah,
Sean O'Connell had like basically the fight of the year where all they did is just stand and just hit each other for 3 minutes or for 3 rounds. Mm-hmm. Jared Cannonier, his only loss in the UFC. No, he's got 2 losses in the UFC. Sean Jordan and Glover Teixeira. So they saw him moving up fast enough that they gave him Teixeira, probably to lose, but nonetheless. Mm-hmm. He's actually a really, really exciting fighter. Those two are just going to go out and swing. That's an exciting fight. This Mark Diakesi guy.
What are you talking about? CB Dolloway looks like he hasn't slept in months. He looks like he was just raised from the dead. He looks like he's been sleeping for the last 9 months.
There you go.
Holy hell.
Dolloway, ven fuera.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, okay.
Holy hell.
And then look at Herman too, man.
He legit looks like sloth in this picture. What are they doing? Maybe he wanted it. Maybe he got to pick his headshot. That's bad.
I don't know, man. He looks bad. Bone Crusher, man, 12-0. That dude is an exciting fighter to watch. They're setting up with a Draker Close. I know nothing about him. He's got a no contest, and he's got a Michigan tattoo on his chest, so he must be pretty cool. But Mark Diakesi, or whatever his name is, definitely a fighter to watch. Super fun to watch. Tough 25 Redemption. Who gives,
weight class?
Who cares? 155.
Hells yeah, best weight class.
I really
always
like Mark.
There's always fighters coming up there.
Yeah,
whether it's Mike Lee, whether it's this gentleman's name that I can't pronounce,
Diakesi.
Even if it's not like the same names, there's always somebody that's making a run and gonna like could be exciting. That's why this will for a long time. This is still going to be the most exciting division.
So he hasn't beat anyone of notoriety. He did beat Teemu Pakalau, one of the guys from Conor McGregor's season.
If you
of the
are
going to
keep talking about MMA, you got to start saying real names. That wasn't a real person.
And then, of course, Michael Johnson, Justin Gaethje, which we talked about a little bit earlier. I think Johnson wins this fight. Gaethje, though, it's just like, what's his face that came in from Bellator? Marcin Held. Mm-hmm. He came in and went straight to the top, ended up losing, but it's still...
I think this is different. A little bit.
I think they throw him in against people to see where they're going to be within the top five.
What division?
155.
Not only is it the best division in the UFC, it's the best division everywhere. Even in Bellator, it's the best.
The 205ers are going to be fun on this card as well.
Good, because that division
And then, of course, Ishihara as well. Those are 145. Gray Maynard, I don't quite understand why he's still fighting. And then Tisha Torres. I mean, for UFC prelims, to have Tisha Torres in number five and then to have Gray Maynard and Ishihara on the prelims, I think those are two really fun prelim card fights.
They can't. They literally can't put anything in for Aspen Ladd. Like, that takes all of, what, 2 seconds? What the hell?
What about the TBD guys? Or the TB announced? TB announced? TBA.
I don't have any of those.
She's her first fight in the UFC.
I think they don't have to do anything. They can put reach in. They don't even have to put the record, but they can put, like, they even put her weight in.
How have I heard of her, though, if it's her first fight in the UFC? Did she come from Invicta? That's why.
Oh, that was the other one I wanted to talk about. We can talk about that next week, though.
Who's that?
The Invicta 135 coming to fight Cyborg.
Yeah, Megan Anderson having to pull out, which is funny because she took a picture with USADA at her house the day before.
USADA.
Actually, the Lavender chick that's coming in is actually going to be way more entertaining. She couldn't give two shits about anything. She really will come in and not be afraid of Cyborg. I don't think she wins, but I think it's more exciting than the Megan Anderson fight would have. She looks like she's got mom bod. She's
that's not a thing.
She looks like she's had like 4 kids. Okay. She's actually a lesbian, an open lesbian, and it's funny because she kissed the female announcer.
Oh, yeah, that's right. She wanted to have the moment of the year.
It's her, yeah. I don't blame her. The Invicta announcer is pretty cute. All right. And with that,
we didn't talk about enough Matthew Cater Klein. He's my favorite story. I hope he comes back. He's also talking shit on Mark Hunt, by the way.
Klein did?
Yeah. He's calling him a pussy for not fighting and bitching about steroids.
Oh, goodness. But yeah. Then he did fight.
Well, it was after the fact.
And when he won against Derek Lewis.
Well, no, but
and I won money on that.
We're not talking about you right now. We're talking about more important people like Matthew Cater Klein. And this was before that fight. So it was right after the Brock Lesnar fight. Love you, Matthew.
Yeah, Matthew, if you ever want to fight Carson, he'll meet you up here.
No, that's not true. We're friends.
Yeah, you guys spar. You guys can spar.
But I'm staying at Alpha Male.
All right, guys. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for sticking around. Apologies for missing a week. We love you guys a lot. Bye.